All right. So, hi, everybody. I am dealing with a little bit of a frog in my throat today. I don't know why, and I'm trying not to like freak out about it, but I'm not being really super successful. But I have a mug of tea, go Steelers. I have a water bottle, and I have cough drops on standby. So hopefully my voice is going to last through this thing. but for those who maybe don't know me or newer to the church, my name is Sarah Swanger. I'm the Sunday service director for church, which means usually, like, if you've been to church in our building, you've probably seen me up on stage singing because that's where I usually am on Sunday mornings. But I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes too, preparing for the service. So this lockdown or quarantine has been a little weird, not having to do all that and just being at home all the time. So for those of you that don't know as well, I lost my mom at the end of January in 2019. So this will be my second Mother's Day without her. Katie, I really feel you when you spoke just now. You said your mom has early onset Alzheimer's. My mom had something similar. It wasn't Alzheimer's, but it was a type of early onset dementia that took her at a very young age. She was only 64 when she passed, but it was a very, very long and hard road. So I feel for you, Katie. If you ever want to talk, let me know. But this is my second Mother's Day without my mom. I somehow managed to speak last year on Mother's Day, which was only a few months after she passed. I'm not really sure how I did that. And I don't remember what I spoke about. But I figured, like, okay, if I did it last year, I can do it this year. You know, more time has passed. But for some reason, this year feels a little harder to me. And I don't know if that's just the nature of the grieving process or if it's just because life is so weird right now. I think it has a lot to do with life being weird and everything being different and harder than it usually is. So when I was trying to think about what to speak about today, all I could think about was talking about the grieving process and what I've been going through, but kind of what we're all going through, because obviously grief is something that we're all familiar with. We've all gone through it at different levels and at different times of our life. And I think right now, with this pandemic going on, grieving is something we're all experiencing on some level. Whether we're grieving for the way things used to be, you know, missing the way things used to be, or we're grieving for the way things are currently at this moment because there's something specific going on, or even just grieving for the future, for the things we know we're going to be missing out on because so much stuff is getting canceled and postponed. And then obviously there's people that are dealing with even deeper grief who have loved ones who are sick or have passed away or in the hospital. So there's a lot of different levels of grief. And me personally, I don't personally know anybody that's sick or in the hospital right now with COVID or anything like that. And I think it's easy sometimes for us to just kind of get down on ourselves for the smaller things we're grieving because we think like, oh, that's not important. Why am I even sad about that? And we tend to minimize our own grief. And I think it's important for us to remember that there's always going to be people that have it worse than us. But what if you flip that around? Like, think about a time that you were happy, that something great happened and you were really happy. Did you, or did anyone else ever say to you, well, you know, there's people happier than you, so you should not be happy right now? Obviously not. So if we can think about that when it comes to happiness, that, you know, our happiness is not measured by other people's levels of happiness, then we shouldn't measure our grief the same way either, because it's not a competition and your feelings are not invalid just because somebody has a worse story than you or has things worse than you. I feel like, so shortly after my mom passed away, it was actually just a few days later, Tony and I were having a conversation one night and he asked me if I was okay, you know, the way you do when you're checking in on a loved one. And I told him, in a way, this is the easy part. Right after something happens, it feels easier in a way because you're surrounded by so many people. You have everybody expressing their condolences. You have people offering to help you or make you meals, and you're consumed with the plans you have to make for the funeral and for whatever else is going on. And it's all just kind of a blur. There's so much happening. But after all that is gone, that's when the grief really starts to settle in. And I remember, actually, I got a letter in the mail from the Visiting Nurses Association that helped care for my mom, you know, in the final months of her life. And it was 6 months after she died. And they were specifically sending the letter to acknowledge, like, that it's been 6 months since your mom passed away, which I thought was really nice of them to reach out like that. But they also acknowledged that that 6 month mark can be especially hard for people. And it was interesting because I hadn't really thought about it, but it does make sense because after all that initial flurry of activity is gone, it can be really hard to just figure out how to live your life beyond that point. And I feel like I'm feeling a similar sort of way in regards to this whole pandemic. I know it hasn't been 6 months, but you know, at first when everything was just kind of crazy and weird, it all felt really temporary. You know, we felt like, oh, we're just going to cancel school for a couple weeks. We'll just work from home for a couple weeks and everything will be fine. And obviously things have changed since then and things keep changing every day. And it's easy to get into a pattern of just feeling despair or feeling like, okay, this is never going to end. What is life even going to be like after this? And how are we going to cope with this? So I was looking into what the Bible says about grief, and there's actually a lot in there. There's a couple books of the Bible almost solely dedicated to the idea of grief. There's a book called Lamentations. So that's literally a book of lament, you know, complaining about and mourning what has been lost. There's the book of Job, which is a story about a man who lost pretty much everything in his life more than once too. And a lot of that book is just Job crying out to God because he wasn't ashamed to grieve for what he had lost. And he wasn't afraid to question God and to ask God, why are you doing this? What's going on? What's the purpose here? The book of Psalms is another part of the Bible that puts grief on display. There's entire chapters where David is doing kind of what Job does, where he just cries out to God. He questions God. He thinks, you know, his life is over. Everything's terrible and nothing will be right again. And he's just asking God, why, what is going on? What's the purpose of this? And I think most importantly, even Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, he showed grief, and it was after his friend Lazarus died. And a lot of us know that story. It's a very familiar Bible story that, you know, Jesus came a few days after Lazarus had passed and brought him back to life. But what's important is when he first got there and they told him the news that Lazarus had died and he spoke with Mary and Martha, who were Lazarus's sisters. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but I think it has so much depth to it. It simply says, Jesus wept. And I remember hearing that story as a child and thinking it was kind of weird because I knew how the story ended. And I was like, why is he sad? He knows what's going to happen. And it's true. He did know he was literally moments away from raising Lazarus from the dead, but he still took that moment to weep and to publicly show his grief. And I think, you know, who knows the reasons behind it, but I think it was because he wanted to show us that loss matters and that grieving is a valid response to loss. So I want to share a few points about grief. They're nothing earth-shattering, probably things you've heard before, and I'm obviously not any kind of expert on this, but there are things that I've learned along the way through my own grieving process with my mom and things I'm still learning. So maybe there's something in here that can help you as well. The first point, and I don't have PowerPoint for this, so you're just gonna have to follow along and listen to my voice. But the first part is accepting that grief is a part of life. Just accepting, not necessarily your particular grief, because it can be hard to accept that particular grief, but just the concept of grief is a part of life. It's always going to be a part of life. It's not something you're ever going to fully escape from because things are going to happen and life is going to change. But try not to be ashamed of it and let yourself feel it and experience it. I'm the type of person who's really, I'm the type of person who hides her feelings a lot. There's even been times where I've been here in the house and I've been crying in the room, in my room or in the bathroom or something like that. And then I get myself together and, you know, walk back out to join the family. And Tony will be like, hey, are you okay? Or what's wrong? And my knee-jerk response is just to say, oh, nothing, I'm fine. And just kind of brush it off. And it's not because I don't think he cares or that he doesn't want to listen, but I just have a hard time just expressing those true feelings when they're ugly instead of pretty. And when my feelings are raw instead of polished, it's just a hard thing for me to express. And I struggle with this concept of feeling like I need to be strong all the time and not show any weakness. And strong means being happy and being positive, or at the very least being neutral and not showing that weakness or the sadness. But over the last year, I've tried to be more open about my feelings, especially as I go through dealing with the loss of my mom. I have kept a diary for most of my adult life, you know, writing about day-to-day stuff or bigger things. And I wrote a lot about my mom while she was sick and around the time that she was dying and shortly after she died. And then I kind of thought, okay, I guess I'm not going to have anything to say anymore. But I've written a lot over the past year about her and about particular moments that, it's been a way to help process my grief because it makes it a little bit more tangible instead of just a feeling that I'm feeling. It's putting it down into words, and it's something that I can look back on too and read through the process that I went through. And you know, obviously certain days are harder than others, you know, Mother's Day or her birthday and things like that. But sometimes grief just pops up at very peculiar and random times. And I wanted to document those as well. I remember one time in particular, it was a Tuesday and I had worked all day and had been a hard day for whatever reason. There was no particular reason for it. But I drove to the church because we had our worship band practice that night. And I just took a moment to sit in my car, and on my phone, I wrote like a really short little diary entry because I was feeling sad and I'd been at work all day, you know, trying to be professional and put on a brave face. And I knew I had to go into practice and, you know, in a way be professional there too and practice with everybody. And I just wanted to take a moment to absorb what I was feeling and to document it and just realize. And in that moment too, I remember writing, you know what, I'm okay. I'm not like super depressed. I'm not about to burst into tears. I'm just sad. And I want to acknowledge that. And I want to document that. And I think that's an important part of accepting grief, is just being able to acknowledge it to yourself, even if you can't to other people, but just realizing, okay, you know what, I'm sad about this. And I don't know why today, or I don't know exactly how to describe my feelings, but I'm just sad. And it's okay that I'm sad. There's a beautiful verse in Psalms that describes how God feels about our grief. It's in Psalm 34:18, and it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I really love the imagery of that verse, the way it uses that image of a broken heart and somebody who's just crushed and beaten down. It's a pretty extreme description of what it feels like to be sad, but that's how it feels sometimes, where your heart just feels like it's in pieces. You feel like you're just being trampled down by life. And it says that God is close to those people, which I think is really interesting, because there's a lot of verses that talk about us drawing close to God, but this one says God draws close to us. Like, he knows that we are hurting and he feels that hurt, and he comes alongside us even before we ask him to, and he can give us that renewal that we need. So that kind of goes along with my next point. And my next point about grief is just reaching out, both to God and to other people. You know, the verse I just read talks about God drawing close to us, but obviously we can seek him too. We can seek him through our prayer. And I know sometimes it's easy to think of prayer as like, oh, well, I have to say, dear God, and I have to say amen at the end, and I have to do certain things or say certain things. But God isn't worried about how you come to him or what words you say. And sometimes when the grief is really, really strong, all you can do, I've had moments where all I could do is just call out his name, and I don't even have words because I don't know how to express what I'm feeling. I don't know how to put it into words, the anger and the sorrow and the horror and the grief and everything just jumbled together. And it's okay, because God already knows all that. He's drawn close to you and he sees your broken heart and he knows what you're feeling, and he just wants you to come to him. Then you can reach out to him. You don't have to apologize or explain yourself. There's nothing that you can say that he hasn't already heard. And as I mentioned before, like the book of Job in the Bible or the book of Psalms, there's so many chapters where those people are calling out to God. They're questioning God. They're yelling at God, basically. And it's fine. He can take it. He's not scared of your words and he's not scared of your feelings. And there's nothing that you can say that he doesn't already know. And along with this point, reaching out to other people is an important thing too. And it's another thing I struggle with, because like I said, I'm not good at being blunt and honest with my feelings. It feels a little weird and self-serving to, like, you know, text a friend and be like, yo, I'm sad, help me. I mean, obviously there's better ways I could say that, but it's just not a natural thing. If somebody asks me how I'm doing, it can be easier for me to reply like, hey, I'm having a rough day, or yeah, I'm just doing kind of meh. But it's hard to reach out and be the one to initiate that conversation and say, hey, I'm struggling, can we talk, or can you just pray for me or something like that. But it's really important to reach out to other people to let them support you the way that you would do if the roles were reversed. Because I think it's easy for us to think to ourselves, well, you know, if a friend of mine was struggling, of course I would be there for them. Of course I'd be there to listen. Of course I would do whatever I could to help. So we need to remember that our friends feel the same way about us. They want to reach out to us too, and they want to help. And sometimes they just need to be told how. And along these lines too, you know, if grief is really deep and really strong and you feel like you need more than a friend, there's no shame in reaching out to a professional, to a therapist or a counselor, somebody that, you know, is trained to deal with what you're going through and can help you with what that is. Another thing about reaching out to others is that it doesn't just have to be about getting support for yourself. Sometimes reaching out to others means shifting the focus off of yourself to them. I have a couple good friends who both lost their mothers after I lost mine. And there's been times when I've been having an especially rough day, and I'll think to myself, oh, I wonder how so-and-so is doing, because, you know, she's lost her mom too. And I'll just reach out sometimes, say, hi, just want you to know I was thinking of you and praying for you today. I love you, you know, something like that. And usually it kind of turns into a little conversation. And it's not that I'm trying to turn it around and make it all about me, but sometimes just that little act of reaching out to somebody else and saying, hey, I'm thinking of you because I know that you understand this pain and I just wanted you to know that you were on my mind. Just the little act of doing that can help me feel better. And sometimes I don't even realize it until the conversation's over, but that can be something really uplifting. So that kind of leads into the next point, which is investing in yourself and others. And that's a little bit more of a specific point. The idea of investing yourself in hobbies or maybe learning new skills. Obviously there's all sorts of ways you could go with this, but it's the kind of thing that can start as just a distraction. Sometimes you just want something physical that you can do with your hands or with your mind just to get your mind off of what you're going through and, you know, how you're feeling. Something that I had tried, obviously I've been writing for a long time. Like I said, most of my adult life, I've kept journals or diaries, whatever you want to call them. So that's something I've been doing, but last year in long challenge. And I love those kinds of things because it feels pretty easy to commit to, like, oh, I can do this for 30 days. And if I hate it, so what? It'll be over soon. But I actually found out that I really loved it. And I've kind of kept up with it since then. And I started off with just loose pieces of cardstock and a Sharpie pen. And that was all I had. And now I'm this person that has a sketchbook and I have pens in all different sizes. And I have 100 colored pencils. And it's been something that I started as a way to just distract myself and keep my hands and my mind busy, but it's turned into something of a new passion for me. So that can be a path to pursue when you're struggling with grief, is just finding something to even just distract yourself for a few minutes, but you may find something that becomes a new passion for you and something that you can really invest yourself in and invest in, you know, making yourself a better person. And along with that, I think investing also means investing in relationships. And this can be a really hard one because when you've lost a loved one, especially when that loss is so sharp and raw, it's easy to feel like you just don't want to get close to anybody ever again because you just don't ever want to feel this way ever again. But I think the reason grief hurts so much is because you've loved so much. So instead of pushing people away or shutting them out, just try to think of ways you can invest in your relationships and make them stronger. I read somewhere that grief is love with nowhere to go. And I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it. Grief is love with nowhere to go. And the reason that grief hurts so much is because you did love so much. So if you can take that energy, embrace that concept and take the energy and all that love inside you that's turned into grief and pour that into other people and other relationships, then you'll find that your life can be so much richer as you move through this process. And the last point is being patient. And I know those are hard words to hear. They're harder to practice. I am probably the most impatient person in the world. So I don't do well with things that are going to take a really long time. But grief is a process. It's a journey. It's not something that you can rush through. It's not something that you can cross off a to-do list. I recently read a little poem about grief and I wanted to share it with you. It's a poem by Gwen Flowers. And it says, "I had my own notion of grief. I thought it was the sad time that followed the death of someone you love and you had to push through it to get to the other side. But I'm learning there is no other side. There is no pushing through, but rather there is absorption, adjustment, acceptance. And grief is not something you complete, but rather you endure. Grief is not a task to finish and move on, but an element of yourself, an alteration of your being, a new way of seeing, a new definition of self." And that one line in there that says, "grief is not a task to finish and move on," really stuck out to me because I'm a person that can be very task oriented. I like making to-do lists and I like crossing things off of those to-do lists. And grief is not the kind of thing you can put on a to-do list. And it's not something that you just finish and you move on because you don't ever really move on in a way. And that's something that I've been learning over the past year. And, you know, in a way you don't want to move on because you don't want to completely forget the person that you had in your life or the life that you had, whatever it is that you're grieving. I've heard a couple really good analogies about grief in the past year from friends that have shared them with me or things that I've read online. And one that I really liked was the image of a ball in a box. So imagine that your life is a box and the grief that you feel is a ball inside that box. And also inside that box is a button for pain. It's like a little pain button. So in the beginning, when your loss is fresh and new, and that grief is overwhelming, that ball inside the box is huge. So every time you move the box, which is an analogy for moving through your life, every time you move through life, that ball is constantly getting jiggled around inside the box and constantly hitting that pain button. And it's just overwhelming. You can't control it. You can't stop it. It just keeps coming and seems no matter what you do or how others try to comfort you, it's just almost a constant barrage of pain. But over time, that ball starts to shrink on its own. And so then as it rattles around inside the box, sometimes it just hits the side of the box. It doesn't hit the pain button as often anymore. And when it does, it can sometimes hit the button randomly, which is probably a good explanation for the days when you feel grief and you have no idea why. You know, maybe you just jiggled the box a little strange and that ball hit the pain button. But I think it's a really good illustration of what grief feels like, because it can feel huge and overwhelming, like a giant ball that barely fits inside a box, and every little jiggle and every little shake sets off that pain. But then as time goes on, that ball shrinks and gets smaller, and it's not so constant, the pain that you feel. So I want to close with another verse from Psalms. It might be a familiar one to you. It's one that you hear a lot sometimes when you're grieving, but it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." And this is metaphorical, of course. It doesn't mean that sadness only lasts for one literal night, but it does mean that someday you'll rejoice again. Grief will change you. It will transform you. It'll always remain with you in some fashion, in some form, but you will rejoice again. So whatever you're going through, whatever loss you're dealing with, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether you're just simply right now mourning the way life used to be, whether you're mourning the loss of certain activities that are coming up in your life, you know, you have things you were looking forward to and now you don't have those things anymore and you're sad about that. Whatever you have going on, whatever loss you're dealing with, just remember that it's not going to last forever and you are going to feel better again, even if it doesn't seem like you can right now. So accept that grief is going to be a part of your life. Accept the grief that you're going through right now. Reach out to others, reach out to God, invest in yourself and invest in others, and then just be patient, because life is weird right now on a lot of different levels. I know it. I feel it with you. Sometimes it's easy to make jokes about it, and other days it just feels like this weight dragging down on you. And that's how grief is. It's up and down and all over the place, and you don't always know how it's going to feel. But whatever you're going through, whatever weeping is going on in your heart, just remember that someday it's going to be morning again. So that's all I have for you guys today. I'm going to turn it back over to Tony.
To me. All right. Thank you, Sarah. You know, I really, you know, I don't want to say the word enjoy, but I really did, because I'm glad you spoke today, because, you know, you shared from your heart and it was tremendously authentic. And I think that we need to hear that, because we've all had losses in our life, and we will continue to have losses in our lives at times. And to understand the grieving process. And I love that quote. I wrote it down. Grief is love with nowhere to go. And that's a very, very good illustration of what it is. So thank you so much. I know we all appreciate it. So Father, we're thankful for this day. We thank you for Sarah speaking, God, from her heart, authentic. And Lord, she was the right message for today, Lord. And I do like the quote that grief is love with nowhere to go. Lord, help us to support each other. And God, that's what church family is about. It's about connecting. It's about having some people to turn to and have confidence in. And God, I thank you for this church family. Even though we're just on screens today, we're going to be back in our building very, very soon. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.